All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Bellator 288, which goes down on November the 18th. A heavyweight bout going on between Tyrell Fortune and Daniel James, and excited to talk to Tyrell on today's show. How's your day going so far, man?
Doing pretty good. Just got done with my first training session, and just chilling out, getting ready to go back out of the 7.
Yeah, and what are you getting up to later? Like, what's that session going to be comprised of?
Sparring, movement. It'll be sparring, movement, fight-specific things.
Yeah, and I'm kind of wondering if you're still training at the general, you know, space and stuff like that. Like, in past, I've known you to get in work at Arizona Combat Sports. Is that where you've mostly been getting in the work ahead of this one?
Yeah, that's my home. That's my gym. Yeah, that's where I do mostly all my training at, is Arizona Combat Sports.
Yeah, well, I think it's been such a big part of your progression overall as a fighter and stuff like that. Like, you've really grown a lot since, like, obviously the amateur wrestling days, and it seems like a lot of it has been with that gym. Like, how important is that, you know, longevity and connectivity? I would think it would breed a certain level of, like, composure and trust among, like, those you're working with and stuff like that.
Yeah, for me, that's the biggest part, and that's why I feel like I've developed so fast and quickly because of the relationship I have with my coach, Trevor Lally. Me and him are like my best friend, honestly. We talk all the time, we bullshit all the time, we hang out outside of the gym and do things together. So it's never, to me, it's more than just a coach and athlete relationship. You know, I spend time with his family and his kids and stuff and his wife. So we really are like a family since I've been there. And, that means a lot because, you know, I'm trusting this guy with my career and my life when I'm fighting. So I feel like that trust and that relationship has to be there. And it makes it easier for me to listen to what you have to say when I'm in a tough position or a spot or just anything. You know, for me as a fighter, with my life on the line, essentially, while I'm fighting, it's good to know that I have somebody out there that I trust.
Yeah, for sure. On the coaching end of things, I mean, just a great, you know, relationship you couldn't replace and everything, but it also seems like a space where, in terms of like sparring partners and people you'd be training alongside of, like, you'd be getting a lot of really, you know, great world-class kind of looks.
No, I don't, I mean I can barely keep a fucking training partner. Heavyweights are lazy as shit and they do not like getting banged up like I want to bang them up. So that's always been a problem, even with wrestling, even more so of a problem now. You know, even the Bellator guys that we have in the state around my weight class don't train with me because of how I train. So that's always been an issue. And I don't really worry about that too much. You know, I think that's why I like where I'm at in Arizona Combat, because I get a lot of one-on-one attention and really focused on my development of skills and my development with my skill set. So I feel like that's what has me progress so much, is that I get that so much one-on-one attention every day, and we focus on what I need to get better on.
Yeah, well, clearly it seems to be helping out, like, the fight IQ end of things and stuff like that, like how you navigate the game. But, I mean, yeah, you definitely do know how to put on that pace, as you talked about there, especially evident in the last fight there, the you know, first-round finish of Rakeem Cleveland and everything like that. Some headlines kind of describing it as, like, a demolition and stuff like that. How did you feel about that, you know, Bellator 277 performance overall in April?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, it's always nice to go out there and finish your opponent. I would have liked if it was my original opponent who I was scheduled to fight. But you can't complain about that. Shit happens in training camps. People get hurt and get injured. But no, definitely happy that I was able to get back in the win column after taking a loss before that. So it's always a positive thing just to go out there and get a finish and get out of there quick.
Yeah, I can understand why that would be frustrating, but is there a level of utility to that in your career, like just being adaptable and shifting to, you know, like whatever replacement opponent might pop up if something like that transpired? Like, is there that kind of benefit?
Yeah, it's part of the game. You know, people get injured and you got to be ready to fight anybody. I think that's the big thing. You know, I think people, and that's why I like the way I train, because most of my training is based for me. It's not based on who I'm fighting. So my opponent can switch. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and you alluded to the fact that you would have liked to have faced the initial opponent there. I'm kind of seeing on Tapology, it looked like there was a couple different opponents mentioned for that card, with Tim Johnson and Steve Mowry kind of like withdrawing and certain plans being changed and everything like that. And I mean, you strike me as a guy that wouldn't overlook the immediate challenge per se, but just in like a down the line kind of sense, those are guys that you would like to test skills with, I would think, right?
Really, anybody in front of me, I'm ranked 5, so 4, 3, 2, 1 is who I always ask to fight. You know, when I have to fight guys like Daniel James and things like that, I think that's more of saying like the guys that are in front of me don't want to fight. You know, they're not accepting these fights, because when was the last time Czech Congo fought? You know, like why am I not fighting Czech? It's probably because Czech didn't accept the fight. You know, Fedor is not fighting, you know, for fighting anybody else. He wants to get a rematch with Vader. So he's not accepting the fight with his old ass. And then I just lost to Whitten, so I can't really ask for that one right now, because we just fought. And I've never had the opportunity to fight Moldovsky, him being number one. You know, so it's just, opportunity comes, I'm always willing to take it.
So is there almost a level of camaraderie in a certain sense with some of these opponents? Like, obviously you're going out there to, you know, get the finish and impose your will and everything, but is there, I guess, a level of camaraderie, because it's like, oh, you actually like signed the contract and I get to go out there and compete?
Could you repeat that question again? You kind of cut out on my end.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, just if there's almost a level of camaraderie with like the guys that do end up signing the contracts to get out there and fight you, just to facilitate you getting to, you know, show your skills.
Yeah, 100%. I tell them every time, I appreciate you signing the contract, because I feel like for me it's always an issue. It's always a little bit of a push or work to get guys just to sign the contract and agree to fight me. So, for me, I respect that they're willing to step in there and do their job.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good mindset to have, I think. But something I thought was interesting in like an MMA Junkie like radio interview you did kind of earlier in the year, it seemed to indicate a bit of an interesting mindset, because you were talking about like not wanting to necessarily get like too ahead of yourself, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, get a title fight after this. But obviously you're a guy that's looking for ranked opponents and stuff like that. So like, how does the mindset differ now and stuff like that? Because I think you mentioned a couple almost like title eliminator kind of fights that didn't necessarily pan out, but you're obviously a talented guy looking to fight those ranked contenders. So like, how has the mindset, I guess, shifted in that particular regard this year?
You know, I honestly wouldn't say it really shifted. It's just the understanding that the politics of the game is more than just me asking to fight, you know, the top ranked guys. You know, there's other guys have injuries and surgeries and shit like that that pulls them out of fights and makes things not really fall in line. So I know that it takes a lot more than just one person saying, hey, they want to fight this guy, or they want to fight tough opponents. These guys got to be in shape, got to be ready to fight and not have any injuries, and to step up to that. So I think understanding that more as I've been in the game longer. But I mean, I always want to fight tough guys. I always want to fight guys in front of me. I want to fight the best guys in the world. So to me, it's just proving that I'm the best once I can get in there with those guys. So that's always been about for me.
Yeah, for sure. And that focus definitely coming across. I'm kind of curious. I feel like I might know the answer to this almost, but just we're talking about like some of the opponents that like pull out of these fights with you, just with the backdrop of that kind of being a bit of a recurring thing, like, do you often like study tape on your opponents, or just because of the, you know, pullouts and some of the cancellations, it's like just focus on your individual refinement to be adaptable to whatever might happen?
Yeah, I'll watch a few fights of the guy to obviously see what their skill set looks like, but I don't hyper focus on what they have to offer. I think from what I have to offer, when I look around the weight class, there's nobody that fights like me. So for me to look at their fights and expect them to fight me the exact same way that they go out there and fought whoever I'm watching, it doesn't really make sense. Like you said, I focus more on my skill set. And like, I've had opponents change on Monday of fight week, you know? So, I can't get too caught up in who I'm fighting.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying in that kind of sense. Like, get a certain kind of feel for what they're bringing to the table, but not, like, overly dive into it. Because, yeah, I've talked to certain fighters where it's like, if you almost get too caught up in what your opponent's doing, you almost lose sight of, you know, what you want to implement.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's a, you know, good way to navigate the situation and everything like that. And then, yeah, no, I appreciate you coming on the show and giving some, you know, great insights, man. Always good getting to talk to you and everything. But I imagine you have a lot of other interviews to do today, and I want to be mindful of that. So to that point, is there anything you maybe want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
No, nothing really, man. I mean, thank you for having me on the show, and appreciate your time.
Oh, well, mutual appreciation. I'm glad you were able to come on the show, and awesome to get some insights ahead of a big fight here at Bellator 288. And I'm sure a lot of people are excited to see that and can do so on November 18th. So to reiterate, thanks for coming on and giving some insights, and just have a good rest of your day too, man.
Thank you.